It is my pleasure to present...
Good morning and welcome to the Carmichael Dave Show, starring Carmichael Dave, Jay Mars, and your phone calls on the Fire Wings hotline at 1-800-920-1140. Text in on the Jiffy Loop text line at 44-1140. Now, strap in and sit down. Here's Carmichael Dave.
Soundgarden in just a second. We have breaking news out of basketball in about 5 seconds, maybe more. Dave Cavill in a statement, just to update the story we were just talking about. Several weeks ago, we were made aware of the post-game meals being served to players in our minor league system. Those options were completely unacceptable and by no means meet our quality standards. We immediately ended our relationship with that third-party vendor. Important to note, that photo dates back to May 18th, when the AA affiliate was on the road playing in Amarillo, Texas. Advocates for Minor Leaguers Executive Director Harry Marino said, unfortunately, this is far from an isolated incident in minor league baseball, but they do applaud the A's for taking quick action. So, there you go. Problem solved.
I'm sure now there will be robust catering and all post-game clubhouse meals for the minor leagues now.
All of them now. Yes, for Morton's or Ruth's Chris. Breaking news out of the NBA. All right, according to sources, Boston Celtics president of basketball operations, Danny Ainge, is seriously considering his future with the franchise and can make a decision to step down. He's scheduled to speak to the media later today, a day after Boston's disappointing season came to an end. Remember, Danny Ainge is the architect of Boston's last title team. Back in 2008, he's the third longest tenured lead executive of any NBA franchise, trailing only Pat Riley and Greg Popovich. That's tough. I understand that time runs out and, you know, you need a new face here, there, everywhere, but I don't know, a lot of injuries.
A lot of injuries, but it goes deeper than that.
We've also talked about Danny fouling off a lot of pitches.
Yeah. It goes a lot deeper than that. When you look at, and we'll talk about this coming up a little bit, but he hustled the Sixers in the Jason Tatum move. He had hustled the Nets for all those picks, yet both of those teams, better off than the Celtics.
Yeah, they recovered.
And that's over 8 seasons that those teams recovered while the Celtics kind of just got close a lot.
Well, even though they lost last night, one team better than the Celtics are better off right now, the Portland Trail Blazers, and they're part of Soundgarden right now.
Soundgarden. Soundgarden. The cuts and clips that are catching our eye today. Soundgarden. It's time to go round the world with Soundgarden.
But after what you gave, just personally,
right? It don't matter. We lost the game. Yeah. I mean, at this point, all that matters is we can't lose another game in this series. So we go out there, we play to win the game. We came up short, so... We're going back home, it's a must win, or else our season is over. Then we got to come back here and win on their floor again. So, I mean, that's what it is.
That's the right answer.
Not just the right answer, but it's also very probable. The Blazers can still win this series. Sure. Let's not forget 2 seasons ago, they advanced to the Western Conference Finals by beating Denver in a Game 7 on Denver's home court.
Well, they got to take care of business at the Moda Center first. And must-see television. That series is just fantastic. Watching Dame Lillard, one of the best playoff performers there is, and then the what will soon be reigning MVP, Nikola Jokic, who we should just say it was sublime last night.
Yeah.
Just one assist away from a triple-double.
It's, you know, we talked about it yesterday. It's, to me, the best series that nobody's talking about, so the Nuggets and Blazers said, okay, we'll make you talk about it.
I don't know that the networks are going to make the same mistake again.
Putting
that on the JV NBA TV squad.
While the Lakers are down 4,986 at halftime.
Yep.
Good times.
Speaking of the Lakers, number two, here's Charles.
Soundgarden.
Anthony Davis, I told you, the Lakers can't win this series. Forget about the championship. They can't win this series without street clothes.
I'm not even... You want to explain that?
I call him Anthony Street Clothes Davis because he's always in street clothes.
You ain't got to explain it, Chuck.
They knew. The laugh was almost uncomfortable because everyone's like, damn, it's cold-blooded, but he ain't lying.
It is. That's so tough, dude. I don't think anyone is doubting that Anthony Davis is just dying not being on
the floor.
He doesn't want to be hurt. But the fact of the matter is, Anthony Davis is quite brittle. Anthony Davis has always kind of been quite brittle.
There's a reason he prefers to play the four over the five. I know that's not a direct correlation, but they tie in.
It's really, really, it's a tough, tough, it's a tough criticism. The best ability is availability. We've heard this time and time again, and it is true. But man, that's just this side of questioning a dude's heart. You know,
I don't think that's what Charles was doing. I don't think Charles was questioning his heart. I think Charles was just making a very direct statement like, hey, look, they need dude to win, but he's always in street clothes.
36, 62, 56. 75, 75, 61, 68, 67, 64. Those are the regular season games.
Oh, this year was at 36 out of 72.
36 out of 72. He had 62 last year. He had 56 the year before. He had 2 years in a row with New Orleans. He played 75.
Yeah, his injury history has kind of been up and down, and right now it's in the downswing.
It really is.
It's not good.
Yeah, and generally with big men, it does not get better with age.
No.
Soundgarden number three.
Soundgarden.
I feel for Naomi. I feel like I wish I could give her a hug because I know what it's like. Like I said, I've been in those positions. We have different personalities, and people are different. Not everyone is the same. I'm thick. You know, other people are thin. So everyone is different, and everyone handles things differently. So, you know, you just have to let her handle it the way she wants to in the best way that she thinks she can. And that's the only thing I can say. I think she's doing the best that she can.
Yeah. That's Serena Williams. And interesting to see people weighing in. There's the applauding of Naomi Osaka for recognizing and doing what she's doing. I don't think what she's doing is heroic. I'm not going to go overboard. She's doing what's best for her, and that's okay. I'm not going overboard on that. But then you have the, you know, suck it up side.
Right.
Ah, suck it up. Okay. You suck it up. You
know? Got him.
You go play.
That a boy.
And how's that affecting you? Sorry. Don't buy her tennis card or whatever. I don't know. Don't get the latest Naomi Osaka t-shirt. Deal with it. You suck it up. All right. Bonus Soundgarden here. Had to play this. This is Clint Capella on the New York Knicks. Soundgarden number four.
Soundgarden.
They're trying to play tough. I mean, push our guys around and talk. But we can do that too. And we show them as soon as they came back here that we can push guys around too. We can talk as well. So what you going to do about it? And we can get a win with it. So what you going to do about it? Oh, game four, you're coming back again. Well, it's going to happen again. We win the game. We talk and we push around. So what are you going to do about it? So that's what happened. We can do it too. We can be physical, but we can win games as well. And now we're coming to your home to win this game again. They send you on vacation.
I mean, at that point,
get loose, Clint Capella.
Clint Capella is just basically like, hey.
All right.
I'm going to throw this out there, see what you have to do. I'm so excited for tonight's game, and I hope it's – I don't want anybody getting hurt. But, man, if there's some minor pushes and shoves and little old-fashioned trash talk.
How about an injury-free knockdown
drag-out? Go back to the 90s.
Yes.
Let's do it, Knicks and Hawks. I want to see one more game at Madison Square Garden. I really do.
Could be the Marvelous One's last one, though, tonight if the Hawks win.
That's right. And his final game should be
at MSG.
And you know what? And if I'm Tom Thibodeau, that's what I'm telling the players. Hey, forget what Clint Capella said. Let's do this one for Marv. Let's do this one for Marv. He's a man. From the 916, pet peeve, it's not breaking news if somebody's thinking of doing something. It's only breaking news if he does it. Now, I share your pet peeves on things. I get it. I thought that through. Here's why it's breaking news. It's breaking news that he's thinking about it. It's breaking news that Danny Ainge is seriously considering stepping down. That's breaking news. I didn't call it breaking actions. I called it breaking news. That's newsworthy. Much like the work that my guy Shelby's doing at refinancewithshelby.com. That's breaking actions. get rid of people's mortgage insurance, lowering their rates, cash out. Hey, I just saw an article in the old Sacramento Bee. Said that it's actually tougher to get an apartment price-wise. Prices are higher here for apartments than in New York City. How about that? Yeah, it's a competitive market. Whether you want to buy a home or refinance your current home, Shelby can help you out just like he helped me out. Lower your rate, cash out for home improvement, cash out to consolidate debt, whatever it may be. Shelby can help you. He is local. He understands the market, the title companies, the appraisers, all the little things you need that somebody in Florida or Southern California or wherever, they can't. Put your current lender up against Shelby. He'll win. Believe me. Can't hurt to try. Go to refinancewithshelby.com. That is refinancewithshelby.com. Tell him Carmichael Dave sent you. NMLS number 279051. BRE number 01864354.
Yeah! That was nice!
Coming up next.
A little quick on the draw there. That's my fault. All right, three for madness. Bill Cowher on Spygate. Hey! It's only cheating if you get caught. We'll ask about Dame Lillard. Has Portland failed him? Has Portland failed Terry Stotts? Same aspect. And does Dame, how clutch is Dame? We'll put it in perspective right back right after this.
1, 2, 3.
It's three for madness time. Three for madness. Three questions, three answers.
1, 2, 3. Woo!
It's three for madness. Here's question one.
Coming up at 8:05, Dr. Richard Pan.
MD.
Wouldn't it be funny if we got like, I think you can get Bruce Buffer. Oh, my God. I just had a really good idea. Bruce Buffer's on Cameo. I think it's like $200-$300.
Uh-huh.
And I think you get a one-minute message.
Mm-hmm.
What if we just sent him like 5 or 6 liners, introing guests, and we had Bruce being like, it's time. And then, you know, out of whatever college Dr. Pan went to and you know what he does. And then Dr. Richard Pan. Like, how funny would it be to have Bruce Buffer over the top introducing Richard Pan? Come on. For only once in your life, can you not be cynical?
I'm not being cynical. I was going to say, as long as... breaking news out of the NBA. I'm sorry. I was going to comment on your wonderful idea, then breaking news from Shams.
Let me get the breaking news.
This is actual breaking news.
Okay, here we go. At the J-Bar Sports Desk, breaking news out of the NBA.
Danny Ainge is expected to step down as president of basketball operations for the Boston Celtics, sources tell ESPN.
Uh-huh.
That's not the only news associated with that. Brad Stevens is expected to assume a more prominent front office role.
That's a curveball. When you said Brad Stevens, the wheels started a spinning. I expect Mike Zarin will take over, the longtime assistant GM there. Another guy whose law background has helped him as a GM. And now Danny Ainge is going to go searching for former teams he used to play for to help in their front office.
Well, we know that certain teams he used to play for love them some consultants.
Uh-huh. Oh, God. I can see that. You know, I almost forgot. Breaking news out of the NFL as well. You want to get to that before 3 for Madness? The San Francisco 49ers finally get their wide receiver, Jones. Yes, that's right. They have filled it as they have signed wide receiver Andy Jones.
More breaking news out of the NBA. Actual breaking news. I need the breaking news.
Oh, my God. We have breaking news left and right. Mine was fake. Back to Jay Mars at the Jay Mars Sports Desk.
Back to Brad Stevens.
Back to Brad Stevens.
He is moving.
Where?
From his head coaching role.
Wait, what?
To leading the Celtics basketball operations. And Stevens will lead the search for the Celtics' new head coach.
What? What? Hold on. So Brad Stevens is out as head coach?
Correct. He is now moving into the front office, and he will lead the search for a new head coach. Will help lead it.
So Mike Zarin just got leapfrogged?
I don't know.
And Brad Stevens is off the sidelines?
Brad Stevens is off the sidelines.
Ah, that's not...
Bigger news, Danny Ainge stepping down or Brad Stevens moving from the sidelines to the front office?
Honest to God, it's Brad Stevens. I can't believe that.
That's three for madness. Question one.
I mean, Brad's. Yeah, let's just roll through it. Three for madness.
Three for madness. Question one. Bigger news: Danny Ainge stepping down from the front office, or Brad Stevens stepping down from head coaching to go to the front office?
I think it's Brad Stevens. Listen, Danny Ainge. We mentioned it earlier. Third longest tenured GM in the league. But you kind of feel like if there was a time to go, it's time to go. Not to mention, by the way, let me just throw this kind of in here. They also mentioned that he's not looking to retire, that he does want other challenges. But Danny's also had some health issues.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't hate him, you know, going off into the sunset and, you know, buying a ranch somewhere. But that's obviously not in the cards for him. But Brad Stevens going from head coach. Now all of a sudden the Celtics head coaching job opens up, number one. Number two, you pull an uber-talented young head coach off the sidelines. I don't know why he'd do that. And I don't know why the Celtics would do that. I need more info on this. I'm not a fan of this.
Do they trust his front office acumen? Or here's the other part of it. Now that vacancy opening it up, there's going to be some good head coaches on the market this year. That Boston job is going to be very, very...
It's probably number
pretty.
One.
Oh, yeah. Number one. Now, a vacancies? God, yeah. Mm. You got two all-stars sitting there that are both under 25, I believe.
Interesting.
Brown might be at 25 or 26.
Interesting.
But either way, two young all-stars, a roster that needs to be shaken up a little bit. Who better to shake up that roster than the guy who's coached them the last few years?
I mean...
Wow.
I really would have thought that Brad Stevens, I mean, I would have believed that Brad Stevens would take on a dual role more than I would believe that he would. Mike Zarin should take over.
I agree.
And I don't know what Grusbeck's doing, the owner of the Celtics. That's just Wick. That's strange to me.
I wonder if Brad Stevens... I mean, I don't know what kind of...
Something's going on.
I don't know what kind of money is going to be involved in that, but let's not forget, he turned down 10 years and $70 million from University of Indiana. Woo, well, I wonder if he's regretting that.
I mean, well, more on this later. That is very much breaking news. They don't waste time in Boston.
No.
My goodness.
Not a thing.
The body isn't even dry yet on their season. Number two.
Question two.
Former Steelers head coach Bill Cowher defended Bill Belichick in regards to Spygate, saying, quote, "It's only cheating if you get caught." Do you agree with Cowher?
Well, I agree with the statement because the statement is accurate. It's only cheating if you get caught, just like the apologies. You're not sorry for what you did. Usually you're sorry for getting caught. You know, if what Bill Cowher is saying is that there is rampant cheating going on, whether it's something small or something big, that every franchise in a cutthroat business does everything they can to undercut, you know, whether it's a fine line, a gray area, whatever, you know, signing a guy off another team's practice squad who's familiar with their playbook the week before you play him, you know, some call it cheating, some call it smart. Now, if you're defending Bill because, hey, other people do, that's stupid. He got caught, so he's not, obviously, it is cheating. He got caught. If you're going to cheat, don't get caught. Bottom line, nobody ever retained their job in the NFL as a head coach because, well, they're an okay head coach, but you know what? They've never cheated.
Right.
That never works.
Having a clean slate, not exactly a way to keep your job.
Yeah, you're responding to the situation. All right, number three.
Question three.
Have the Portland Trailblazers failed Dame Lillard by not putting another bona fide superstar next to him?
They have. They've kind of chilled out with Dame and CJ McCollum, and they've screwed around. And what worries me is not that. What worries me is that as much as we mirror in our minds the fact that we could have our backcourt of the future with De'Aaron Fox and Tyrese Halliburton, what would be terrifying would be to be sitting here 10 years from now and some dumb sports show in, you know, Massachusetts is saying, did the Kings fail De'Aaron Fox by not putting enough of a team around him for the last decade? That just goes to show you. And ultimately, Dame wants to win it in Portland, but he's got to put his foot down. Either surround me with winners or I got to go because Carmelo Anthony ain't doing it.
Yeah, I agree. He needs to have a nice long conversation. Regardless of what the Blazers do, they're not going to the conference finals this year, even if they win this series.
Oh.
It's time for him to sit down with ownership and the front office and be like, hey, look, I need a, not a Robin to my Batman, but I need another Batman to my Batman.
Right.
Everybody else has been paired with another star and has at least gave it a shot. It's time for Portland to, they have assets to trade, man.
Right.
They do. They can go out and find this. It's time for them to go big game hunting in the offseason.
We will take a break.
Yeah! That was nice!
Coming up next, 7:30 segment. Let's recap all the halftime stuff. We'll try to get a little bit of this A's news in there as well for Mauro Loriano. Also, we'll update you on Dave Cavill and their minor league system and horrible sandwiches they're being served. And then we'll get into the playoffs. We'll recap that. We've got some sounds, some highlights, all kinds of fun coming up right after this.
The number 12 mid-market sports morning show in the country. It's the Carmichael Dave Show on Sports 1140 KHCK.
Still following the bombshells out of Boston that Danny Ainge is out. Stepped down,
air quotes.
Brad Stevens is transitioning from head coach to the front office. Reports now coming out, Stevens was just tired of coaching since the bubble.
Worn down, so to speak.
Worn down even.
Must be nice.
Yeah, my goodness gracious. Okay, well.
I saw this already floating around in the social media sphere.
Uh-huh.
Do you think Brad Stevens won some sort of power struggle with Danny Ainge here? It's just weird timing, man.
Yeah.
And the whole way it's settling in, Stevens moving from a coaching role to the front office, Danny stepping out.
Mm-hmm.
Brad clearly going to have a role in picking his successor. As you mentioned, Mike Zarin's been Danny's right-hand guy for years now, and his name hasn't even been mentioned in any of this.
Nope. Also, Chris Mannix, friend of the show, Chris Mannix, Sports Illustrated, saying that one very possible landing spot for Danny Ainge would be with the Utah Jazz. You know, Danny was a BYU grad. Danny has family and lives, I think he has a home in Utah.
Yeah, Danny is, I mean, not that should matter, but Danny is Mormon. Well, you know, that plays into it.
The Ainge family is very deep-rooted in Utah. Of course, that would make sense. Here's my question. Dennis Lindsay has been the GM or, you know, president of basketball ops in Utah since 2012. I think Utah's run their team quite well.
They've done okay.
When you look
even at, after losing an all-star in free agency, they bounced back pretty quick.
And you look at what's been added to that team either through draft or trade, and I kind of went down a mini rabbit hole during the break just looking at things. I had forgotten, dude, that in 2013, Denver picked Rudy Gobert, number 27 in the first round.
Good pick.
Traded him on draft night to the Jazz for cash and a second round pick no longer in the league. Only 4 years later, the Nuggets, with the 13 pick, picked a guy named Donovan Mitchell, traded him to the Jazz for Trey Lyles and the number 24 pick, which turned out to be Tyler Lydon.
Dare to say Utah likes trading with Denver.
Very much. Like, if I'm in Utah and Denver calls, I'm like, yeah, dude, whatever. I make the trade. I'm good. Bring it.
Yep.
Bring it. You sure you don't want more? But seriously, if I were to ask you which team was run better over the last 9 years, Utah or Boston, you tell me it was Boston? And that includes the Jason Tatum heist.
Well, in the last, how many did you say, 8 years?
Well, yeah, since 2012.
That's 9 years.
9, 10, 11, thank you.
Okay, because yeah, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, the Garnett-Nets trade happened in 2013. So he has, Danny Ainge has two heists under his belt.
He does. And I still might go Jazz.
And what, two or three Western Conference Finals appearances?
Mm-hmm.
It's just that whole tenure and what he did and didn't do with assets is someone's going to be doing a deep dive into that, I'm sure, in the coming weeks. It's going to be a fun read because, boy, is it all over the place.
And not to disrespect what Danny Ainge has done.
No.
in any way, shape, or form. But let's also be honest. Dennis Lindsay's challenge in Utah is more difficult than Danny Ainge's challenge in Boston. Now, to defend Danny, there's a lot more pressure on him. It's Boston. It's mm-hmm. the Celtics. It's a foundational squad. Arguably
the most storied franchise in basketball.
Correct. So there's more pressure to win there for sure, institutionally, but it's also more of a destination.
Yeah, and it's not like the Celtics are a huge free agent destination, but, I mean, they signed Al Horford, was an all-star. Gordon Hayward was an all-star. Kemba Walker was an all-star. They've signed guys.
Gordon Hayward,
play.
Drafted by Utah, and Dennis Lindsay.
Yeah. Mm. Again, and Utah recovered after losing him in free agency quite well.
Yeah, if I'm Utah and their new owner out there, and Danny comes calling, I might say, well, you know, we'd love to add you to our front.
I was going to say, wouldn't you? I mean, I think he would be great in like a Jerry West advisory role.
I mean, the problem.
Which might be what Danny wants at this point.
The problem, though, if you do that is what kind of message are you sending your current guy? Like, now is he looking over his shoulder? Stuff like that can completely screw up a chemistry.
It just depends. To your point, that could happen. Or it's always, you know, hey, you can. Having a basketball mind that has been successful as Danny Ainge, not a bad thing to have on speed dial. It's going to be fun.
It's really going
to
be fun.
Celtics are going to be, to me, the most, they're at least the top three most interesting teams in the offseason.
I also need to look. I have not looked at this, obviously, because the Kings aren't involved. And you have new guys in Minnesota, new guys in Houston. What teams might be looking for GMs? You know, where might he go?
That would Danny?
Make sense. Yeah.
Again, I think right now he's going to step back and if he goes...
Take a year off
or go into an advisory role. Mm-hmm. Something a little less hectic than running a franchise like the Boston Celtics for the last... How long has he been there? It's over 15 years.
Let me ask you this.
Been a long time.
Would you... this is just philosophically.
Mm-hmm.
If you heard that the Kings had reached out to him to come in as an advisor... Would that please you or not?
Yes.
It would not please me.
No. See, I'm on the opposite end of that. Here's why. This is a little different to me. If he is literally coming in as a basketball advisor, again, a la a Jerry West type role, we have spoken for years how the Kings never had enough minds in the front office.
Now they have too many.
I don't think you could
now
have
they have too many.
When you add a guy like that, I don't think you have
I get
too many.
It. Here's the thing. I'd be fine with Danny Ainge coming in, but then Joe Dumars has to go.
Okay, I'll gladly take that trade.
You cannot just add Danny in there. You have to boot
that.
And
by the way, guys, this isn't happening.
No, it's not. We're just
theoretics.
Know. Anything big that happens in basketball, we have to run through the Kings sausage maker. It's just a rule. It's in the contract.
Sausage always comes out really weird shaped and taste for whatever reason. It's true.
All right, halftime, dude.
You guys suck. That's how my coach used to get me fired up at halftime.
It's halftime. As we get into the second half of the show, here's what we've been looking at so far and what we'll be talking about next.
Here's the 2-2 pitch, and it's swung on a miss, and down he goes. A foul tip held by Murphy. The A's have won at 12-6, and for Bob Melvin, he becomes the winningest manager in Oakland A's history.
That's Bob Melvin. Passing Tony La Russa, all-time winningest manager in A's history. And by the way, there's a lot of history there with the Oakland A's. And to think, buddy, you know, I'll bring this up till the day I'm off the air. Bob Melvin still to this day, I do not think of him as the manager of the A's. I think of Bob Melvin as the guy, and there, you know, I was looking the other day for video on it. There isn't. The guy with one of the more unique crouches. You know, Tony Perez, some of you oldsters might remember, used to have the one leg stretched all the way out. Benito Santiago would throw guys out off his knees.
Ricky Henderson, the best crouch at the plate I've ever watched.
Yes.
But I get what you're saying. Catchers in different...
Bob Melvin, who backed up Bob Brenly with the Giants in the 80s.
A lot of Bobs.
Bob had this weird... It wasn't a squat. It was like a... Bend over, almost. You'd have to see it. And even back then, Bob Melvin, dude, because I'd gotten moved to catcher in Little League and was obsessed with the position. And Bob was my guy. And so my dad bought us tickets at the stick, specifically near the bullpen, to see if I could get Bob's autograph. And I ended up, what was I, a 12, 11, 10? Having a between innings conversation with the guy. That's the type of stuff you never forget as a kid.
Right.
And then to years later be able to bring that up to him face to face in a spring training interview. I love that man. I'm so happy for his success. He truly is a good dude.
Did you tell him, Bob, our conversation inspired me to be the number 12 mid-market morning show host in the country?
Yeah, dang right. What'd I say? Tony Perez. Wait, who's the catcher I'm talking about? The catcher with the... Somebody's correcting me, and it's making me think, am I wrong? Tony Pena. I'm an idiot. Tony Pena had the leg out. I'm getting old. Number two.
Getting?
Shut up.
Halftime.
Here's the 2-2 pitch, and it's...
What am I doing that? Halftime.
Dame goes left, gives it up to Mello, back to Dame with Austin Rivers on him. Bounces off of Gordon again from way downtown, banks it in! There's the NBA record! Damian Lillard with his 12th three of the game, he's got 55!
Yeah, Dame was good. Dame was good. Dame was good, period. New paragraph. Okay, well, let me rephrase that. Dame was amazing. A pantheon performance. And as a matter
Dame of, was legendary last
well,
night.
Well, going beyond that, our friend Andy Bailey, who we need to get on the show.
Fine.
Andy Bailey is a very, very tall, I believe he's a lawyer, but also one of my favorite basketball follows on Twitter because he is always putting out different stats, different rankings, all kinds of stuff. If you don't follow him, follow him. He put this out about 15 minutes ago. Best single game playoff game scores. All right, tracked all the way back to 84. Number five, Hakeem Olajuwon had a game score of 48.6, May 14th, 1987. Sleepy Floyd, 49.1, also in 87. Michael Jordan, 49.8 in 1992. Number two, Charles Barkley, 52.6 with the Suns, I believe, in 1994.
Yeah, that's Phoenix.
Number one, Damian Lillard, 55.9 last night. 55.9. Second place is 52.6. That to put it in the way games go, you know, we need the rest of the show for game score and how it's calculated, but you're putting together an average of a lot of different stats, points, assists, rebounds, but then a lot of metrics too, box plus minus, and blah, 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 blah. Anyways, needless to say, he was really, really, really good last night, but he didn't care.
But after what you gave, just personally,
like, it don't matter. We lost the game. Yeah. I mean, at this point, all that matters is we can't lose another game in this series. So we go out there, we play to win the game. We came up short, so we going back home. It's a must win, or else our season's over. Then we got to come back here and win on their floor again. So, I mean, that's what it is.
We asked Michael Malone. I was there. I asked Michael Malone why he didn't foul Damian Lillard.
Damian Lillard's he's like a Chris Paul. He's been around the block. He knows what time it is. And if you're trying to take that foul, my concern is him making the three and giving up a four-point play. So it's really out of respect to Damian Lillard, his experience as a clutch player. There's a lot of things you can sit here and second guess. Lineups, give a foul, not give a foul. You know, we won the game. That's all that matters. And we will watch and learn from all those end of game, late game situations where, you know, we could have been better.
You know, one thing we haven't really talked about today as we continue in halftime, there was another game in the playoffs yesterday. And there's an email about it.
2 seconds, 1 second, that's it. In five games, the Nets advance. They close out a playoff series on their home floor in Brooklyn at Barclays Center for the first time. They win it in a final 123-109.
Hey, how about that?
So the Celtics lost around what time last night, West Coast time? Seven? Seven.
Yeah.
They literally had their GM, basketball president, whatever you want to call him, Danny Ainge, step down. They moved the head coach into the front office, a prominent front office role, all in about 12 hours.
That's working fast.
Yeah. It's almost like they had known this was going to be a thing.
34, 10, and 10 for James Harden, 25, 3, and 3 for Kyrie Irving, 24, 4, and 3 to go with three blocks for Kevin Durant, who played 37 minutes, Harden 39, Irving 38. And that 14-point victory, not as close as that seemed, really. I mean, it was tight for the first part of the first quarter, and then see you later, all. And they move on now.
Boston was just hurt.
Boston was just hurt.
Had trouble all year. The team was not what it was last year, or even 2 years ago.
Brad Stevens, in his final comments as Boston Celtics head coach.
We showed when we're totally together on both ends of the court that we can be a handful no matter who's in the game. But we have to get better, and we know that.
And that was it. Did Brad know then that he was done?
Yes.
Right.
I have a feeling Brad's known for weeks, if not months, that he was done.
Can I just, you know what? I'm the only one on the island, and I should just move on because this is just how my dumb brain works. I'm curious. Does anybody else, whenever they see or hear Brad Stevens, does anyone else out there get the, when I hear Brad Stevens talk, the picture I get in my head is Pete Buttigieg? Anyone?
David.
I'm just saying they sound similar.
They look similar.
Do they?
Yes.
Yeah, I guess so. It's more of a sound.
It's also a look.
Is Brad Stevens
actually Pete Buttigieg?
Actually Pete Buttigieg.
Is Pete Buttigieg actually Brad Stevens?
Maybe that's why Brad's taking time off. Here's Steve Nash. Remember, he coaches that team.
Never heard of him.
On the Big Three in their chemistry.
They are getting further along. You know, every time out, whether it's a good or bad performance, whether it's cohesive or not, I think it leads itself to more growth, more understanding, more cohesion. You know, and then some of it is they're just terrific players and are able to take over the game in stretches individually.
Mm. Kyrie Irving on off-court things.
We just get to move on from this. But like I say, it's nothing but respect for the players, the coaching staff over there in Boston. You know, in terms of everything extracurricular in the outside environment, you know, that you let that handle itself. So just proud.
Mm. Finally, Kevin Durant talking about playing with Kyrie and Harden.
It's definitely cool, but I mean, I'm not trying to sit back and reflect on how nice it is to play with those guys. I'm trying to get out there and get work done and worry about how we're going to get better each and every day. But, you know, it is fun playing with two guys that pretty much do everything on the basketball court.
One more clip here is Jason Tatum. I think he's talking about criticism.
I will say anybody that don't have Mike, Bron, and Kobe in their top five, I really have a hard time listening to them.
Right. Hold up, Mike, Brian, Kobe, Shaq?
You can. I think 4 or 5 is very interchangeable. Them three, I think those three are cemented.
Mm. Mike, LeBron, and Kobe is your top three. A lot of old heads. You know what? That's interesting because Michael Jordan of the Bulls, LeBron James of the, you know, bunch of teams, Kobe Bryant of the Lakers. One, probably the first argument that comes up there, if you're saying that's your top three, a lot of people say is Bill Russell guy. Interesting for a young Celtic to say that. I don't think that's as bad as Jeannie Buss putting LeBron and leaving Jerry West out.
Yeah, that let's not even go there.
But I if I was Jason Tatum, I would have said, you know, the top, you got to have them in. And maybe he did. Did Jason say that's the top three, or did he say they're in their top five?
I thought he said they're in their top five.
Let me just double check here, because then
I will say anybody that don't have Mike, Bron, and Kobe in their top five.
Okay. All right. He covered himself, because they could always say, well, of course Bill Russell's number one.
I don't think he has to. I think enough time has passed with the generations of Celtics fans. You don't have to do that anymore. Larry Bird might be another story, but.
So let me go.
Walter McCarty.
Let me just real quick hit that Lakers-Suns series. Did Monty Williams make a mistake leaving Chris Paul in that late? And I understand that hindsight's 20/20, but when you're up 30 pretty consistently and Anthony Davis is out, Do you maybe say to Chris, I'm not bringing you out after the half unless I need to?
Maybe.
I know.
When that shoulder, was that third quarter?
Yeah.
When that shoulder hit up again? Yeah. Oh.
Chris Paul, by the way, said that was a clean play by Wes Matthews.
When it happened, I didn't know. I was just looking up and sort of happened again. I didn't know what had happened with Wes, but after I seen it, I came back out on the court. I told Wes, you know, as a a clean play. And it was just unfortunate that, you know, my neck and arm snapped again like it did.
Yeah. I mean, that becomes, here's the thing. It's 3-2 Suns. You go back to Staples Center now. But if Chris Paul can't play, or if he plays and he's basically a decoy again, and Anthony Davis does play, which I have serious doubts about.
Well, even if Anthony Davis plays, he's going to be full strength. Very limited. The same, right. If we're applying that to Chris Paul, you have to apply the same method to Anthony Davis,
but I
so
think
to speak.
That's advantage Lakers.
Yeah, at home for sure, but it's not a big advantage.
And, well, it's not just that. It's also Davis is playing, Chris Paul, and injured, but Chris Paul is playing, but also injured. I think Chris Paul is more important to the Suns than Anthony Davis is to the Lakers, as funny as that sounds.
Ooh.
I think if you take Davis.
I think it's close.
I think if you take Chris Paul off the Suns and Anthony Davis off the Lakers, I think they're both different teams.
Of course.
But the difference in the Suns this year is Chris Paul. Now, you could argue the difference in the Lakers.
Well, I was
going to
say,
Anthony Davis.
Well, you could argue also the difference, period, is Anthony Davis. Look what happened when he didn't play last night. They got thrashed. No, they didn't lose. They got thrashed.
But you also have to remember, too, this game is going back to Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
Game 6. Let me tell you something, dude. You know who's not burying the Lakers when they're down 3-2 in a playoff series?
You.
This guy. Because you know the NBA is going to dispatch their special ref team.
Oh, here
they're going to dispatch their special ref team.
Here we go.
Now, listen, if Phoenix rolls in and blows them out like they did last night early, it doesn't matter. There's nothing you can do. But I'm telling you right now, dude, if this is a close game, is it tomorrow? We're in here Friday talking about calls. And you think that the Dame Lillard, Austin Rivers, phantom foul call at the end of the fourth was bad, and it was horrible. Wait till Mikal Bridges sneezes on LeBron James's knee. And not only do they call a foul, but they call a clear path foul and a flagrant foul.
I love flagrant fouls.
Yeah, I know you do. And they boot Bridges from the game. And the Lakers shoot 94 free throws to the Suns 12.
You done, Ralph Nader?
Next thing you know, somebody in Phoenix is protesting. You know what? Next thing you know, the state legislature is protesting the win by the Lakers. They're contesting the outcome, which, let's be honest, the state legislature in Arizona already has some experience in protesting outcomes.
Look at you.
Just saying. You got all Arizona, every politician in Arizona is like, it didn't happen. We have declared the Suns the winner. We're going to do an audit. Maybe they can get, what are those, the whatever ninjas they're called that are auditing right now. Get them to audit. You're going to sick them on these Staples Center referees. They'll raise a banner in Phoenix. The Lakers will do the parade and all that because they'll go on to win the championship. But then, like, 4 months, you'll have people in Phoenix being like, you know, I'm hearing that actually they're gonna change this whole thing around after this audit. They're going to make Phoenix. They're going to make the Suns the champions here in like 2 months, dude. Just you wait, bro. It's all coming down, dude. I can see it. I just outlined the future for you. So, yeah, make sure to watch that game because the fix will be in. The fix might be in. I don't know. The late, great David Stern's no longer with us. Maybe it's a new thing with Adam Silver. I don't know. But, boy, was that a funky call last night. That Austin Rivers call. That was a terrible, terrible, terrible call. Anyways, you know, it's a great call. Exchanging propane at your own home. It's a huge call. It's a great call. My friends at Cinch are helping you do that. C-Y-N-C-H. Cinch.com. It's propane exchange. You leave your old tanks out front. They come by, drop off new tanks, all nice and filled. That's it. You have to step outside. You don't even have to open and close your door. Just open it. Step outside, grab the tank, come back in, close the door. That's it. That's your propane exchange. It's cheaper than at the gas station. Let the man tell you. They're into it. Propane. Oh, yeah. It's not amateur pain. It's propane. We tell you that all the time. Right now, use promo code Dave, D-A-V-E, Dave. Your first exchange, $10. Just $10. That's half the cost at the gas station. My goodness. That's a savings of a lot of money. And the band's into that, too. Propane. Cinch.com. CYNCH.com. Promo code Dave. We'll be right back.
That was nice.
Coming up next.
All righty. Dr. Richard Pan will join us for his weekly visit. We will test the progress of everything coronavirus vaccine related as we try to get back to normal. Then we'll get right back to the NBA playoffs. Breaking news. Well, broken news out of Boston. And Ed Crane, what's on tap? When's the blue moon? Crossover. It's all coming up. Final hour next.